Welcome to Beanstalk Mums podcast. Here at Beanstalk Mums, we believe that every mum is a powerhouse of potential and strength. Our mission is to uplift, empower, and support single mums on their incredible journey. Each episode is packed with inspiring stories, practical advice, and expert insights tailored to help you tackle the unique challenges and triumphs of single motherhood. Join a vibrant community as we delve into topics that matter to you most. From financial independence and career growth to self-care and parenting tips. At Beanstalk Mums, we understand that your journey is as unique as you are, and we are here to provide a warm, welcoming space where you can find the encouragement and resources you need. So tune in regularly and become a part of a network that celebrates your resilience, wisdom, and unwavering dedication. Together, we can turn every challenge into an opportunity and every moment into a stepping stone towards a brighter future. Welcome to Beanstalk Mums, where your story is our inspiration. With the festive season just around the corner, we know how magical this time can be. But for some families, Christmas isn't always merry and bright. Today, we're shining a light on an issue affecting countless single mums and their children across Australia. With the housing crisis pushing more families into long-term temporary accommodation, many single mums and children are spending this holiday season in shelters or transitional housing, often without the comforts we associate with Christmas. In the face of these challenges, it's inspiring to see organisations stepping up to provide support. One such initiative is GIVIT's Domestic Violence Appeal, which is making a huge difference by connecting people with essential items and resources that can restore dignity and hope. Joining us is Danielle Draper, the manager of GIVIT's Domestic and Family Violence Program. Danielle leads GIVIT's essential work in providing resources and dignity to families in crisis. From essentials like clothing and household items to community support through their domestic violence appeal, GIVIT is helping families rebuild their lives with hope and resilience. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and join us for this impactful conversation with Danielle about the power of giving, community spirit, and how we can help make a lasting difference for families in need. Thank you for joining us, Danielle.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. We really appreciate you being with us, especially around this time of Christmas. And as I've mentioned, this need, I presume this need would be all year round, but I guess it really gets underlined around those special occasions like Christmas. You know, personally, I've never heard of GIVIT until a few months ago when one of your co-workers reached out to me. And I feel this may be a case for a lot of our listeners. Can you give me an overview of GIVIT's work and how you connect donors with the people in need and especially families facing hardship?
Yeah, absolutely. So GIVIT is a national not-for-profit donation platform that facilitates the donation of essential goods for people experiencing hardship. So essentially what that means is we have a website and organizations that are registered with us place a request for exactly what's needed for the person that they're supporting. Those needs go up onto the GIVIT website for members of the public to see, and they can fulfill those needs directly. So GIVIT works with more than 4,700 organizations across Australia, including councils, who tend to be more active with us during natural disasters, other charities and community groups, as well as schools. We tend to have a lot of the chaplains and guidance counselors that are registered with us because they know who the vulnerable families are and vulnerable students are within their community. All of these services that are registered with us are able to place requests for exactly what's needed for the people that they're working with. We ensure that people get exactly what they need when they need it, whether they're recovering from an emergency or natural disaster event or experiencing some other form of hardship. Often there are compounding reasons. There'll be people that are experiencing multiple things at the same time. That could be that they fled domestic and family violence, are experiencing homelessness, living with disability or mental illness, or recovering from drug addiction. So all sorts of different needs are captured on the GIVIT website. Another big part of what we do is by capturing offers of goods and services online, It means it's removing the need for charities and organizations to sort, store, and often dispose of unrequested donations, saving valuable resources. So a lot of services are severely under-resourced. They don't have the capacity and they don't have this physical space to store a lot of donations. A lot of donors are obviously very well-intentioned and well-meaning and want to donate things, but sometimes, again, this is more in the natural disaster space. A lot of donations end up going straight into landfill because they're not what people need at that particular time. So the Give It website is all about organizations saying, this is exactly what's needed for this person that we're supporting. Donors can fulfill that particular need that way. We're also proud to say that 100% of publicly donated funds go towards fulfilling a specific request for an essential item or a service. So if you choose to donate funds to purchase a voucher or a blanket or a packet of nappies, whatever you see on the Give It website, 100% of your donation is going to purchase that specific item.
Wow, that is impressive. That is extremely impressive. And, you know, I've many times have donated into charity shops, etc. And I often wondered, you know, I wonder where this goes and I wonder whether it's needed. And then I've had other items where I'd go, well, I don't even know if someone could use this. And to have like a matchmaking opportunity, you know, to make sure that this particular item goes to someone that particularly needs this item. When I found that out, I thought, oh, that's brilliant. Why didn't, you know, why didn't I think of this before?
And I think most people will think that as well. Yeah, this is such an amazing platform. I personally didn't know of Give It before I worked here. I've been with the organization for 5 years now. And yeah, there've been so many times in the past where I've thought, oh, you know, I'm clearing out my bookshelf or I'm clearing out some things that I don't need anymore. I'd love to be able to give them, but not sure where they're going to be of most use. So that's the power of the Give It website, is being able to see exactly what's needed and fulfilling that particular need.
That's amazing. Yeah, many times, I mean, I blame my hoarding on not knowing who to give it to. The other thing you mentioned just there is as well that blew my mind is that 100% of the donations go across to the need. I mean, who does that? That's how do you guys get funded then?
Yeah, so a big part of how we're able to keep our staff on is through government contracts for specific roles. So like myself managing the domestic and family violence appeal that's funded by the Queensland government, but also just from generous corporate donors who donate directly to our admin funds. Any publicly donated funds that go towards an appeal, 100% of that goes towards fulfilling that need. So donors can choose to donate to support Give It. That would be supporting our staff, helping keep our lights on, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's mostly our corporate partners that assist us with kind of functioning day to day as a team. So
that's a great business model. And how long has Give It been around for?
We're kind of still a new organization, but yeah, Australia wide, we have a massive footprint. So
this is potentially why I've never heard of you guys before. It's amazing that in that short amount of time, you have made such a big imprint already, which obviously goes to show that that need was there and it just wasn't being filled. And now you have stepped into that. That's
absolutely
brilliant.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people know of us more so from our natural disaster work. That's where we tend to be promoted a little bit more. So we manage the flow of donations during natural disasters when people have items and funds they wish to give. But I think a big part is just reminding everyone that we're here all the time, 365 days a year for all sorts of different types of hardships. So
that's amazing. But yeah, I'm just in awe of what you guys do. So we're hearing that families are now spending years in temporary accommodation, considering what's going on with the rental market, etc. What are the most significant challenges that these families, and particularly single mums, face in that situation?
Yeah, there's so many challenges, and a common theme I hear from many crisis centres and refuges that are registered with Give It is generally they are set up for women and children to be in that accommodation for about 3 months. That's the model that they work off. But due to the housing crisis, what we're hearing is that families are living in these centres for up to 2 years and sometimes even longer than that, just because there isn't anywhere for them to go. So while these services were set up as short-term transitional housing, essentially children are growing up in refuges because there's just no housing opportunities available. Often these locations are also private and confidential addresses, which means that mums and children can't have friends and family come around to visit. So thinking about a child wanting to bring a friend home from school, you know, they can't do that. And that can be even more isolating when they're living in a space that's not like their home. They're set up to be as homey as possible, but it's not the same as being in your own home. And I'd say it's distressing to know as well that there are a lot of young children who return home from school each day to a refuge where they may not have access to many of the things that they need to thrive at school, such as laptops and tablets. You know, that's pretty much a requirement for most school-age children now to have those things. School books, school bags, even basic things like lunch boxes and drink bottles. We do see a lot of education needs come through that are linked with domestic and family violence. If you think about the fact that families have often fled with nothing but the clothes on their back, and to pack up a bag of school uniforms is just not top of mind. So even having to replace school uniforms, and that can be a massive financial burden and expense to be replacing those kinds of things. So yes, we do see requests come through for that that donors are able to assist with if they'd like to. In terms of other challenges, I'd say a big part is just that financial hardship starting from scratch. You know, in the early days of someone receiving crisis support, it's generally grocery, fuel, and clothing vouchers, giving someone the opportunity to have a voucher to buy something for their own dignity, and being able to purchase some new clothes can make such a big difference. Other things as well would be toys for children living in refuges, because again, they fled, they don't have those things with them. So receiving vouchers can just help ease that financial and mental burden of knowing they've at least got something to cover the immediate basics. And then once women are able to transition out of those refuge spaces into long-term housing, that's when we start to see requests for larger items like beds, fridges, and washing machines. Often, when they move into the housing that's long term, they're essentially an empty shell. So they don't have those larger items. And then again, if you think the expense of having to purchase those things or source those things, it's a lot of effort. So, yeah, there was one example earlier this year actually where a support service was assisting a lady who'd experienced really extreme domestic violence, a lot of trauma, and she lived in a refuge for quite some time. And she was then able to receive long-term housing, which she was super excited to get into, but she didn't have anything to put in it. So she moved into this space and it was an empty shell. She was just sitting on the floor. There was nothing in there. And her support worker reached out to say, like, is there anything that you guys can do? And we were able to provide a voucher for a bed and a fridge so that she could go and purchase a couple of things and just get a start, essentially. So, yeah, so lots of different things that people are experiencing in those refuges. Yeah.
I come from a background of I was a migrant from a European country to Australia, and we migrated through Italy, and I was a refugee there. So I have a concept when you paint that concept of being in a room and not having packed much and ran away from somewhere. We were escaping violence on a larger scale. And so I can really relate to what you're saying there, being, in this 3 months, longer than 3 months in that sort of limbo for a child is, yeah, it's detrimental to their development and to their social assimilation and to their well-being down the track. So stepping in and supporting in this way and trying to bring a little bit of normality into their such unnormal surroundings and childhood is, my heart goes out to you. I'm so blown away that it's some amazing and such important work that you are doing. In regards to these items that you provide on a general basis, is there a different need around the Christmas time, or do the needs stay around the same of the furniture and the toys and the uniform and things like that? Is there, do you require other extra bits and pieces?
I'd say the needs pretty much the same across the whole year, but then obviously needs change depending on the individual or the family and where they're at in their stage of life. If they've just recently fled a domestic violence situation or some other form of hardship they might be experiencing, that point of crisis can be a different type of recovery to further down the track. But I'd say generally during Christmas, that's when we do start to see a lot of requests for grocery vouchers is a big one, just so that families can actually put food on the table and buy a Christmas lunch and just have a nice meal together. But also Christmas gifts. You know, we hear this every year that there are always going to be children that miss out, which is really sad to think at Christmas time. So yeah, we do start to see a lot of requests for vouchers come through just so that parents can buy one little gift for their child, or they can choose something that they'd like. One thing I do hear as well from so many services is often the age gap that's missed is the tweens and teen age group. People tend to be very willing to buy gifts for young children. And, I know that too. It's a bit exciting to go and buy gifts for young kids and, the excitement of Christmas. But there are a lot of services that support youth and they struggle the most with getting vouchers that might be something that teens and tweens would like, a music voucher or Rebel Sport voucher or something like that, those kinds of things for that age group. And often they're the ones that miss out. That's a
Well,
big
that would
one.
have been my question next, because kids, young kids are so easy to buy for. So, you think baby, you think toddler, get us something soft, a little bear, whatever. But what if you get a teen? So you struggle when you've got your own, let alone somebody else. But that is so true. That would be more sort of along the lines of a voucher than potentially a set of headphones that you would prefer in being donated, or you don't
Again, a
mind if you
real
take both.
No, a real mixture. And again, it comes down to the organization that places that request because they're the
Right.
ones that are working directly with people in need. So, if it was a youth service and they're maybe supporting 50 young people, probably it's easiest for them to just place requests for vouchers. And we do see things for, like I said, Rebel Sport, music, JJ's, so that they can buy some clothes and things like that. But some organizations just have a very small caseload, so they'll know exactly what they can pop in a request for. And that might be headphones or like a new computer game or something like that. So sometimes they can be a bit specific. Sometimes they're just a voucher to allow that person to go and purchase something. So a bit of a range of things.
Just while we're on that topic, so when you get these requests allocated to you, do people just, and obviously if it's a request for a voucher, fair enough, there's a donation. But if it's a request for children's toys, for example, sticking in there with the idea of kids, do you accept these items posted to you, or how does that actual giving work?
So Giveit doesn't physically receive the donations. So all of that goes through the donor and the organization that placed the request. So, say, for example, there's an organization that places a request for educational toys for a child in care. There might be some details around kind of what they're needing. If, for example, maybe they need some wooden toys specifically, and you might want to go and purchase them, or you've got some that you'd like to give, you can give it directly to that request, and then you'll connect with the organization who requested that. So if it's within your local area, you might be able to go and drop it off. They might be able to pick it up from you. You might be happy to post it. Yes, there's lots of different options for how they can be fulfilled.
That's great. That's good to know. And so, with this domestic violence appeal, you're doing such incredible work. Can you tell me a bit more about what kind of impact it's had thus far?
Yeah, absolutely. So we ran a dedicated domestic and family violence campaign in April and May of this year, which did deliver really big results. The campaign capitalized on the national sentiment at the time with protests around the country about the rising number of women being killed each year due to DV. So as a result of the campaign, Giveit provided over 33,000 donations worth over $500,000 to people experiencing domestic and family violence. And a lot of that was thanks to public fund donations directly to requests and into our domestic and family violence appeal. Our work also attracted the attention of Queen Camilla. Our team had the honour of presenting our work to her during the royal visit in October, so that was quite exciting. And over the last 4 years, Giveit has provided almost 1 million items and services to help people affected by DV, working with almost 1,400 shelters across the country that are able to support people in need. So, some big impacts that we've been able to make.
That is incredibly impressive. Absolutely. The social media and media in general bringing and shining attention onto this topic. I'm really glad that that boosted. Do you think it's made a dent? Do you think I know that you've made a difference, but is how much more is needed, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say, and because we're not a frontline organization, we really only work with the organizations that are those frontline services. And all I hear back is really the support and appreciation that they have for being able to receive assistance through Giveit. But I think there's always so much more work to do in this space. But I think as a community, we are sort of doing well in terms of education and resourcing that's going out there to help people.
You certainly do hear and see a lot more awareness and a lot more talk around the topic. So I suppose one of the Christmas wishes could be that we as a society do bring that change about so that there is a less of a need for it down the track. But thank you for all that work that you do. So for all our listeners, how can they support GIVIT's work? So not just during the holiday season, obviously now because that's where we're at, but throughout the year, what's the best way for them to jump on board and help? Because I'm sure many of them will be wanting to.
Really, there's so many different ways that people can help. Definitely heading to giveit.org.au and heading to our What's Needed page. That's where all of our requests go for donors to see. They're all current requests that have gone up from organizations supporting people in need. Donors have a lot of different functionality they can use on that list. So they can search by a particular appeal or hardship category that they might be passionate about supporting. So whether that's someone who's fled domestic and family violence or experiencing homelessness, living with disability, mental illness, any type of hardship that's there, you can have a look and see if there's a request you connect with. You can also have a look by your location. So you can have a search filter there to see what's actually needed within your local area. All about local giving. So it's a great one to have a look at. If you've got a physical item that you're looking to donate, you can also use the category filters there to find a match for that specific item you wish to give. If you're just wanting to donate funds and you know, I'm just willing to donate $20. You can filter the list of requests just by that particular donation value and see what you can afford within that bracket as well. Once you find a request you'd like to support, you can click on that, have a bit of a read of the story. There's a bit of information about why that person's needing support, maybe what positive impact there will be from receiving support, noting that this is always completely de-identified. There's never any specific information about the individual there. To fulfill a request, you can either donate funds to cover the cost of that particular item or can donate a physical item. And what we do say is that physical donations need to be good quality. So something that you would happily donate to a friend or a family member. If you can't find a request that matches an item you wish to give, then you can head to our online warehouse. So that's essentially an online database of donations, a bit like a Facebook marketplace, but everything's for free, obviously. And organizations are the only ones that have access to that. So they can have a look through, see what's on offer there. If there's something suitable for their client, they can reserve a donation and connect directly with you. And then you'll be able to chat around collection or drop off or whatever's going to work there. The other thing you can do as well is donating time and skills. So if you've got the time to volunteer, you can have a look through those requests. There's all sorts of different things there. So it might be helping plant a local community garden or packing care kits, mowing the lawn of an elderly person, or some of those skills that are needed are remote as well. So if there's maybe any teachers that are listening and they're happy to offer some tutoring skills, for example, that's potentially something you can offer remotely as well. So kind of lots of different options for what people can provide support with through the Giver website.
It sounds like a very robust search engine. You make it really easy to be able to connect these dots. So that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
And if someone does have a physical item, as you've mentioned, and the frontline charity can get in touch with them, do you know how long that usually takes? Is if I've got a table, do I then have to hang on to it for months, or does it usually get snapped up pretty quick?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, that would depend on how you donate, and there's a few different factors in that. So if you choose to list your item in our online warehouse, you get to nominate how long you would like to list that for. So if you know it's a bit time sensitive and you're moving away or you're going on holidays and you just want to have it listed for a week, that's what you can choose. Or if you know you're happy to hold on to it for a bit longer, I think the maximum is about 3 months that you can hold on to something. If you donate directly to a request that an organization has, say, placed a request for a dining table, and you say, yep, I've got one, and you offer directly to the request, in terms of how long it'll take to hear back from the service, obviously that depends on your time and their time if they're busy managing their clients, or if obviously if you send them a message on the weekend, they're probably not going to respond. So,
Sure.
yeah, but usually fairly quickly.
Considering how complicated it would be to match everybody, this is it's a very streamlined process. GIVIT has really made it quite simple and easy, a very straightforward way for lay people like myself and anybody else that's listening to be able to actually step in and take the hassle out of it. Just being able to do it. That's great. That is amazing. No wonder you guys are making such a big imprint and are being so well utilized because it's something that's definitely been needed for a very long time.
And I think people find so much value in being able to know exactly where their item goes. Sometimes, if you donate it to an op shop, and that's absolutely fine as well, but sometimes it's just kind of nice to know that your item has gone directly to someone in need. And yeah, that's again the power of the Giver website, that you know it's going directly to that particular person.
Especially if it's something that there is a lot of things we have that are dear to you. You potentially don't use it anymore. You're never ever going to see yourself using that thing. It might be a jewelry, or it might be something valuable to you that meant something to you. But now it's time to let it go. But not knowing where it goes, and if it's just going to be sitting in a box in an op shop. Again, I love op shops. That's my favorite place to shop. You know, like you say, to know that that item is going to be loved and cherished by somebody else, and you know that that's going to that motivates you to give it a lot sooner than not.
Yes, exactly. Yes, knowing that it can make a difference, I think, is so important.
Absolutely. And talking about making that difference, do you have any recent stories or moments, not necessarily recent, but moments in time that's really stand out to you showing how Give It has made a positive difference to someone in need?
It's hard to choose because I do have so many beautiful stories that have come through from organizations that we work with, and we always love when we receive stories because it's just so heartwarming and lovely. But one that happened earlier this year that's really stuck with me is a domestic and family violence service supporting a mum and her child, and that experienced really extreme domestic violence, both suffering from PTSD and trauma. And mum also had some physical disabilities from injuries that she'd sustained from the violence as well. And she reached out to her support worker to ask if they could have a couple of bicycles because she felt like that would be a really good way for her son to get out and about, do some exercise, be outside in the fresh air. But she was hoping for two, not for herself and her son, but for her son and her new partner, so stepfather to the child, because she wasn't able to physically ride a bike due to her disabilities. But she felt that it would be really important for the son and the stepfather to go out and have those bonding moments together. So they placed a request for two bicycles. We had some donations come through, so we were able to provide a couple of vouchers so that the family could go and choose some that were in the correct size. And the little boy was able to choose one that he really liked. And then a couple of months later, the support worker reached out to me to say that she'd been back to visit the family and just to touch base with them. And she said the little boy was just so lit up. He was just so excited to tell her about all the adventures he'd been on with the bike. And every afternoon, they'd pack a little lunch, and him and his stepfather would go off and they'd have a little adventure. And yeah, he was just, she said it was such a complete change for him. And that was the power of just one small thing. It seems kind of not insignificant, but you know, someone might think, oh, a bike isn't really essential. But for this healing journey of recovery and for the family together as a unit to kind of move past everything that had happened, it's just so important. So yeah, that was a really beautiful one.
That is beautiful.
Heartwarming.
And kids and bikes, like it's a part of childhood development. It's a part of your childhood, a bicycle. And to be able to have a positive experience with a father figure and get out of the house and build on that emotional healing, that's beautiful. Yes, people might say it's not essential. I'd disagree. I'd say that it's very much an essential thing, you know? That's amazing. That's beautiful. And so, if someone is not able to donate financially or materially, you've mentioned before that there are some other ways that they can contribute with their time. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Definitely if you don't have the capacity to donate financially or you don't have any items lying around at home, I definitely suggest checking out the time and skills. So again, that goes on the what's needed list. You can search for what organizations have requested in terms of volunteering and skills that are needed. And that might be to support the organization itself. So in the event that maybe they need help with packing Christmas hampers, or it might be to help a specific client, for example, an elderly client needing their lawn mowed because they don't have capacity to do so. And then if you can't find a match for a time and skills request that's in your local area, having a look to see if there's something that you can offer remotely. But you can also offer yourself essentially. So again, into the online warehouse, you can list whatever type of skills you might have. So if you have come from an admin background, or you've got some finance skills or social media skills, and you're happy to help another organization get started, because often they just don't have the resources for paid staff members and they really rely on volunteers to help them. So, yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can help with time and skills. And then I think probably the other biggest thing is really word of mouth. You know, you said that you hadn't known of Givit until a couple of months ago. So being able to get the word out there, you might be talking to a friend or family member who says, "Oh, I've just recently purchased a new couch and I've replaced my old one and I'm not really sure what to do with it." You can say, "Have you thought about Givit?" And maybe have a look on there and, you know, see if you can find a match and a way to donate that lounge to someone in need. So yeah, I'd say word of mouth is a big way that people can help.
Well, I'm going to be your biggest advocate from now on, now that I do know about you. And I do find myself often in that position. People do say, "Oh, what do I do with this now?" And I was like, "Well, now I'll know what to tell them." And I
Excellent.
love the fact that you can give yourself, you know, sometimes that financial, we are, especially these day and age with things, the prices of everything going up, we may not always find ourselves in a position that we can spare some money, but your time and your skills, as you were talking, that I've already thought a few skills there that I could potentially be able to offer, and that flexibility again to be meaningful and to be helpful and to be of service is mind-blowing and really inspiring. So thank you so much for working at Givit and doing everything that you do. That's I can't find the right word. I'm just in
Blown away.
blown away. I think I've said blown away about times now, and in awe and wow. I suppose, you know, these days there's just so much negativity and so much doom and gloom, and media focuses on all the negatives. And to actually speak to somebody who brings about positive change and makes this world a better place, yeah, it just absolutely warms my heart and blows me away.
I think one of the most beautiful things as well I hear from organizations that we work with is something that can be the most moving is that for people experiencing hardship, when they could be at rock bottom, they've experienced all sorts of different types of hardship and they're really struggling, for them to know that a complete stranger has been willing to help them in their time of need. I think that can be such a powerful thing, and it can just be the thing that helps someone sort of move on or think of something positive that's made such a huge impact for them. So, yeah, helping someone in need just makes everyone feel good.
Absolutely, especially sort of in that position, you may have lost all faith in society or all faith in humankind, and then to receive an assistive hand from a stranger, it's a whole world of difference to somebody that's in need. And so to wrap up, could you share a message of hope and encouragement for the families you support and for anyone that's listening who might be going through a tough time?
Yeah, absolutely. So Givit works with thousands of organisations around Australia who support people experiencing domestic and family violence. If you need help, you can head to the Givit website, givit.org.au, and click the Need Help button at the top of the page. You can pop in your postcode and search for organisations that are registered with us in your local area. You can also search by a particular hardship that you're needing assistance with as well, so then you can connect with a service directly that way. And if there's anyone listening that is experiencing domestic or family violence, I would encourage them to call 1800 RESPECT for urgent advice and support.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll put all those links at the bottom of the episode. And I'm definitely jumping on board after this conversation and looking what's available in my area and seeing how I can contribute. I don't know where I'm going to squeeze it all in, but I'm going to do it. Therapy.
Excellent. It's what we love to hear.
It really shines a light. We often get so lost in our own little world. And what I don't want to diminish what people go through, because people go through some horrible things, but often we get so lost in it that having a talk with someone like yourself, Daniela, brings perspective, and to know that there are others struggling even worse, and being able to actually assist, yeah, empowers us to be of service and of support to others. So thank you so very much. I really appreciate the time that you've spared with me today. I can't wait to bring this episode live and to bring awareness to such an amazing organization.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for your time. It's been really lovely to chat to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and a huge thanks to Danielle Draber for sharing her insights and the inspiring work of GiveIt, the work it's doing for families in crisis. It is powerful to know that each of us has a role to play in creating a brighter future for those who need it most, especially single mums and kids facing challenging times. If Danielle's words moved you, we encourage you to visit GiveIt's website to see how you can help and make a difference. And now we have some extra special news to wrap up this episode. It's time to announce the winner of a Christmas giveaway. This year, we wanted to give a little extra joy to a listener, and the response has been heartwarming. Without further ado, a huge congratulations to Jane Binstead. You have just won the amazing pampering gift package from Gift Australia and an hour counselling session with Single Mum Away. And we can't wait to hear how this little gift brightens your holiday season. Thank you to everyone who participated. Keep an eye out for more exciting giveaways and resources coming your way. Until next time, remember, you're not alone on this journey. From all of us here at Beanstalk Mums, have a wonderful, joy-filled holiday season.